Lola Montez Part 2. This is Lola Goes to America and Australia. Now, in 1849, with, to some extent, her popularity in Europe had kind of peaked, and it was on decline by this time. When news of gold being discovered in California, well, there are all kinds of thoughts about coming to America, you know, all sorts of things. Well, Lola actually got wrapped up in the buying speculative stock, which was very popular at the time in Europe, and she bought stock in the Eureka mine. Now, most people ended up losing money on these on the stock speculation, but Lola actually made some money off the stock. Although by the time she went to California to actually see her mine, it had long since closed. And it's about this time, 1849, that an agent from the United States came in, a guy named Edward Willis. And his idea was to try and get Lola to tour the United States. And she took him up on the deal. And then Willis did a few other things. He wanted to expand her repertoire. So they added some other acts to her show. They surrounded her with really good actors and then promoted and promoted and promoted her. She toured the eastern United States from 1851 to 1853. And she did really well in New York, Boston, and Philadelphia, but she developed a, and she's probably had this all her life, but it started to come out a little bit more at this time. She had a really bad temper. She kept fighting with hotel managers, and she also really hated critics. Threatened to actually horsewhip her critics. Now, in St. Louis, her working with Mr. Reed, or I should say Mr. Willis, ended with him getting hit in the face with her whip and breaking his, as she actually broke his nose. Her new manager was J.S. Hennings, and he took over once the tour ended in New Orleans. Lola and her group then headed to what I call Sin City in this time period, which is San Francisco. Now, in order to get there, you don't have a whole lot of choices. You know, going overland isn't the easiest way to go, so they went by ship. They boarded the SS Northern, and Lola had another love fling on the ship with a gentleman named Patrick Hull, who is part owner of the San Francisco newspaper, The Whig. And the two were actually married after reaching San Francisco. Her manager left because he didn't care how many lovers she had, but the thought of marrying someone he thought would hurt her appeal and no one would be interested. However, that didn't make any difference because coming to San Francisco with most of the population being men, who cared? And everybody was captivated with her. As a matter of fact, when she used to walk from where she was staying to the theater with her husband, the people would post lookouts at the front of their buildings so that when they saw her coming down the road that they would warn everybody so people could come out and gawk at her. Now, the spider dance drove the San Francisco crowd wild. Every night, what Lola would do is toward the end, she would take a silk garter off of her leg and toss it into the crowd, which would then drive everybody wild. After San Francisco, Lola then went to Sacramento. And then, she did, of all things, she did a tour of the mining towns. Placerville, Downisville, Nevada City, Grass Valley, and several other places. The whole group went in two carriages. In the first carriage was Lola and her husband, and he drove. And then they also had a Wells Fargo guard. And then in the second wagon was Lola's maid, Periwinkle, and the rest of her acting company. And it, too, was a great success. But at the last stop at Grass City, she told Pat she wanted to stay there. She told her husband she wanted to stay there. And eventually the two argued and then ended up leaving for San Francisco. But once their marriage failed, she would come back to Grass Valley and live in luxury. And of course, what ends the marriage of all things is a pet bear cub. One of the locals had given Lola this cub Actually, it's a German geologist in the area who she will have as a lover later on. But Pat, her husband, was walking out of the house one day, and the cub was tied to a tree or whatever, and it was in his way, and so he kicked it, and then the cub bit him. Then he pulled out a gun and shot and killed it. Now, that's usually not a positive thing to do. And D-I-V-O-R-C-E, it's divorce time here. And so Mr. Hall goes away. Noah now took to using the geologist, who she's referred to as Baron Adler, as a lover. But he was killed in a hunting accident. So for a while, what Lola would do is just kind of wander around the mountains for hours. She actually claimed that the spirit of her first husband, Henri, would appear to her. So the poor thing's having a little problems. At the age of 38, she decided she still had some performing in her. So she fell for another individual. His name was Noel Fallon, the son of a New Orleans Frenchman and ex-mistress of a fancy New York bordello. What a nice pedigree. He also managed her, and she gave him money. This is one of the few times that the money's going the opposite direction. Generally, Lola sucked the men dry from all their money. Now, in this case, she's going the other direction. Unfortunately, as you would expect, her new little friend bungled her return. And in addition to that, by the time she went back, San Francisco had moved on to other acts, and she was older. And so what he ends up doing is convincing her, why don't you go to Australia? So in 1855, she goes to Australia, and she's playing in Melbourne there at the Royal Theatre. And she did her usual spider dance, but the crowd was so enthusiastic that it also raised her enthusiasm, and she lifted her skirts a little higher, and fortunately the crowd could see that she wasn't wearing any underwear. Now that was a hit with the crowd, but not with the people of the city. So very respectable people now suddenly stopped going to the theater. And then newspapers started doing editorials about public morality. And she actually begins to lose money at this time. And of course, when things go bad, you remember what's going to happen. She's going to have a bad temper. She actually threatens a critic named Henry Seacamp with a whipping for being critical of her in a newspaper review. And after being here in Australia for a while and touring around, she then returns to California, where she then sells off her property, sells off her jewelry. Now, there's a story that she had this really expensive necklace given to her by King Ludwig, and no one has ever actually seen it or corroborated this, but it's always one of the stories associated with her. She even sold her furniture. So what Lola now does is she heads back to the East Coast, her career over. After staying in the East Coast for a little while, she decided she wanted to go home and visit Ireland. And she turns to religion at this point. She actually started doing a lecture tour about turning away from sin. She wore a full-length white Greek gown when she gave these lectures. But unfortunately, there wasn't as much money in lecturing about turning away from sin as there was committing it in the first place. Finally, in November of 1859, she returns back to New York. And she was, again, going back doing the lecture circuit. But her health is beginning to go down on her. She moved into a boarding house. And in this boarding house, she signed in as Fanny Gibbons, because she didn't want people to know who she was. On June the 30th, 1860, she then suffered a stroke and for weeks was unable to talk and walk, but she eventually recovered to some extent. But her physical strength is really beginning to deteriorate, and a woman came in who recognized her and said that she would help her, and Lola signed over all of what else she had left of this lady to provide for her. And the woman immediately moved her out of the boarding house into a tenement section. And it's there that Lola died of pneumonia at the age of 39. Now, there's some stories say that she was, you know, buried in an unmarked grave, but there is a, in the Greenwood Cemetery, there is a grave marker with her name on it. You can go to findagrave.com and get a look at it. That is a fascinating site, too. If you've never been, it's one word, findagrave.com. It has all kinds of stuff. It's a picture of Abelard and Eloise's and all kinds of stuff. And that's the end of Lola, poor thing. Now, the sources of this are Lola Montez by Seymour and Notorious Ladies of the Frontier. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, sumahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. And ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and thank you very much.